You can't just have these tracks wandering around in hemmed space, said Emin.
The way we're wandering around in the dark, I proposed, for we were attempting to find a suitable lukub.
With no rhyme or reason, can you?
You mean the world tracks, the narratives?
I guess so. What is up with that, by the way?
It was a vague question, but I could tell what was on his mind.
You mean Frajad's use of the word narrative?
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one to sell to...
the Panjandrums? Is that what you call people like my Doyne?
Some of us.
Well, they're pretty hard-headed. Don't go in for anything highfalutin.
Well, let me see if I can come up with an example, I said. Remember what Arcibald said? The block of ice buried in the star?
Yeah, sure,
he said.
There is a point in hemmed space that represents a cosmos that includes even that.
The configuration of the cosmos encoded in that point, I said, includes, along with all the stars and planets, the birds and the bees, the books and the spielies and everything else, one star that happens to have a big chunk of ice in the middle of it. That point, remember, is just a long string of numbers, coordinates in the space. No more or less real than any other possible string of numbers.
Its realness or unrealness in this case has to grow out of some other consideration, Emin tried.
You got it. And in this case, it is that the situation being described is so damned ridiculous.
Well, how could it ever happen to begin with?
Emin demanded, getting into the spirit. Happen. That's the key word, I said, wishing I could explain this as confidently as Orlo. What does it mean for something to happen? That sounded pretty lame. It's not just this situation, this isolated point in configuration space, that springs into being for a moment and then vanishes. It's not like you have a normal star and then suddenly for one tick of the cosmic clock, a block of ice materializes in the middle of it, and then next tick, poof, it's gone without a trace.
But it could happen, couldn't it? If you had a hemmed space teleporter?
That's a useful thought experiment, I said. You're thinking of a gadget from one of Moira's novels. A magic booth where you could dial in any point in hemmed space, realize it, and then jump to another.
Yeah, regardless of the laws of theorics or whatever. Then you could make the ice block materialize, but then it would melt.
It would melt, I corrected him, if you let natural law take over from that point. But you could preserve it by making your hemmed space teleporter jump to another point, encoding the same cosmos an instant later, but with the block of ice still included.
Okay, I get it. But normally it would melt.
So, Emin, the question is, what means normally? Another way of putting it, if you look at the series of points you'd have to string together with your hemmed space teleporter in order to see, outside the windows of the booth, a cosmos with a block of ice persisting in the middle of a star, how different would that series of points have to be from one that was a proper world track?
Meaning a world track where natural laws were respected.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We laughed. Well, I said, I'm now starting to understand some of what Orlo was saying to me about Saint Evanedric. Evanedric studied Datonomy, an outgrowth of Skonic philosophy, which means what is given to us, what we observe. In the end, that's all we have to work with.
I'll bite, Emin said. What do we observe?
Not just world points that are coherent, I said. So, no ice blocks and stars, but coherent series of such points. A world track that could have happened.
What's the difference?
It's not just that you can't have a block of ice in a star, but that you can't get it there. You can't keep it there. There is no coherent history that can include it. See, it's not just about what is possible, since anything is possible in hemmed space, but what is compossible, meaning all the other things that would have to be true in that universe to have a block of ice in a star.
Well, I actually think you could do it, Emin said.
The praxic gears were turning in his head. This was what he did for a living. He had been pulled out of his job at a rocket agency to serve as technical advisor to Ignatha Forel.
You could design a rocket, a missile with a warhead made of thick, heat-resistant material with a block of ice embedded in it. Make this thing plunge into the star at high velocity. The heat-resistant material would burn away, but just after it did, for a moment, you'd have a block of ice embedded in a star.
Okay, that's all possible, I said. But it's a way of answering the question, what other things would have to be true about a cosmos that included a block of ice in a star?
If you were to go to that cosmos and freeze it in that moment of time...
Okay, he said. Let's say the teleporter has a user interface feature that makes it easy to freeze time by looping back to the same point over and over.
Fine.
And if you did that and looked at the region around the ice, you'd see the heavy nuclei of the melted heat shield swirling around in the star stuff. You'd see the trail of rocket exhaust in space leading all the way back to the scorch marks on the launch pad. That launch pad has to be on a planet capable of supporting life smart enough to build rockets. Around that launch pad, you'd see people who had spent years of their lives designing and building that rocket. Memories of that work and of the launch would be encoded in their neurons. Spieles of the launch would be stored in their reticules. And all of those memories and recordings would mostly agree with one another. All of those memories and recordings boil down to positions of atoms in space, so